Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning, so we are talking about the question of the week. And we've been doing a series on supernatural goals. And this is an opportunity where we'll see how some of those approaches fit into and make and apply practically when we are dealing with today's issues. We all have struggles. We all have challenges and hindrances and speed bumps in our lives. Sometimes they're urgent and critical, and sometimes they're just things in the back of our mind that are distracting us from that peace, that rest that is available to us right now through knowing God. And so we want to start out with looking at who is God really when we think of him? Is he your friend? We say, well, God loves us, and it's unconditional, and it's, you know, this, you know, he's done so much for us, and we, you know, can do so much because of that. And we all have our own history, our own experiences, and we've all drawn our own conclusions. But what we find out is that sometimes we are double-minded about those conclusions. Sometimes the things we think we know aren't what we feel. We may know God loves us, but we may not feel he loves us. And what we find is God creates situations in our lives to bring those conflicts to the surface. So we've got our question of the week is, there seems to be another wave of the emphasis on repentance these days, which I've certainly noticed that. How come we want to repent when things are going bad, but not when things are going good? You probably noticed that too. That regardless of the situation, Christians often have an explanation for it. Now, our world, our individual lives, we all go through cycles. We go through bad times and we go through good times. When you think of those cycles in your life, now some of us have a lot of bad cycles. We're more in the bad part. Our time in the desert is much longer than for some others. But when we think about that cycle, about just trying to get out of the desert, to get to that oasis, or get to the other side, or get out of the crisis we're in, then we get there, and our goal is just to stay there and to avoid another crisis. But, of course, something will happen. And we'll be back into a crisis. At the crux of our question is the notion of our interpretation of that cycle, the conclusions we draw. And at the root of it is the source of those situations. Do we deserve what's happening to us, whether it's a blessing or a curse? If good things in our life are happening, did we do something to deserve it? If bad things are happening in our life, did we do something to deserve it? And I'm not talking about, practically speaking, like if you're stealing from your boss and you get fired, guess what? You did deserve that. I'm talking about when we, as soon as we start bringing the notion of repentance before God, we are adding Him to our equation. And we'll get into when it's appropriate to do that and not. But we want to start with, if you come at the circumstances in your life as seeing them as either a blessing or a curse, in other words, something that you did to either deserve a blessing or a curse, or maybe not you, maybe a government or a country or a stronghold or a spiritual type of supernatural thing going on, that your actions either caused a blessing or caused a curse in your life, or extending that beyond, in your country or in this world. In other words, because you were negligent in an area, God is allowing this nation to be punished, or the world to be punished, or you to be punished. So because you were a bad person, God has to withdraw His hand of protection, and now you're reaping the rewards of your being a bad person, or neglectful, or whatever. Or you're even reaping the punishment of someone else not being a good person, doing something bad, doing something evil. In other words, what's common right now is there's this thing that the world and America are suffering the curse from God because the Christians around the world and in this country, in the United States, have allowed the government to do things that are displeasing to God. In general, that's the viewpoint. So we're saying that, some people are saying that we're under a curse. We're all under the same curse, even though only a few have done something to displease God. Now, first of all, that's not the way He ever did anything. But what we want to come away with, not so much let's not analyze God, but let's analyze what that says about how we think about God. And this question frames it interestingly. When things are going good, are we asking God how we're doing? Or are we assuming that we're doing things right because everything is going good? And so naturally, when things are going bad, we assume things are going wrong. We are doing things wrong. What's the problem with that? We're assuming. We're making assumptions. We are drawing conclusions. And why do we do that? Well, first of all, it's easy. It's easy to draw our own conclusions about what is going on based on what is familiar to us. In any crisis situation, and one of the reasons we try to avoid crisis situations is it's very uncomfortable for us. We feel out of control. And we want to get back in control. If we feel out of control, or are thinking out of control, or are acting out of control, we're most likely feeling and thinking and acting out of our own flesh, out of our own soul strength. So our goal is to get out of feeling bad. We have a hard time thinking that anything that's going bad in our lives or in our circumstances could possibly be what God wants. It's always a punishment. It's always bad. And because we have this mindset, there are a couple of things that is really a missed opportunity for us. When you see everything negative in your life as an attack or from the enemy, you are missing an opportunity that this situation was created by God for you to learn how to live as a son of God. We are all either living according to out of our soul or out of our spirit. Living out of our soul is easy. Using our own understanding. I mean, we all have our own theories about why God does things, how he does things. And it's familiar to us. And trying to regain control, that's what feeds our flesh. So we start most time. So that is, generally speaking, the kind of repentance that people, when they say that we need to repent in order to change the circumstances, most of the time what people are actually saying is that they believe that God has removed his blessing because we've done something wrong. And so if we try to make up for that, then he will bless us again. So when we really look at it, we're saying that we believe that we are responsible for blessings and cursings. That if something is going right in our lives, we have done something to deserve it. That if something is going bad in our lives, we have done something to deserve it. Now, that would be all well and good, except for 2,000 years ago, when God paid for everything. When God paid for all the blessings. He wrote a check for them. They're all yours now. God paid for all the curses. He's taking care of them all. So you can't take the credit for the blessing, for God's blessings in your life, that you've earned it. That's part of His grace. He's giving it to you. He has given it to you unconditionally. And most of us are great with that. We see that. My definition of grace is accepting unconditionally what God gives unconditionally and just saying thanks. Now here's the problem. It's that if He's also paid for our blessings and giving us and is giving us His life, His eternal life now, unconditionally, He's also paid for the curse, unconditionally. A lot of times, what that does is it so shakes our own view of our perception of God and ourselves and of others and the circumstances in our lives, that we fall back on what's easy, what's familiar. We must realize that God no longer requires this kind of repentance anymore. And by focusing on trying to get God to fix the problem, we are actually contributing to the problem. We are extending our own, not necessarily what God is doing out there, but our own. We are prolonging our own wandering in the wilderness. Because we are often ignoring the work that He has set for us to do. When He made you a son of God, when you were reborn as into His family as a son, you are a joint heir, not a lesser heir, a joint heir. You are a co-inheritor, not a lesser inheritor. We are already fully on God's side. We don't need to worry about what side He's on, okay, because He owns all the sides. They're all His. Okay, can you get that? Can we all get that? Can we all settle that? Satan is not God's enemy. He's His tool. He's an instrument. God doesn't have any enemies. And inasmuch as we are spirit being, that part of us also doesn't have an enemy. There's no struggle in you spiritually. Obviously, that's not true in the soul, in our mind, our will, and our emotions. But that is precisely why God creates these situations, so that He can divide between spirit and soul. And we can see where we are still trying to do things our way and force God into our way of thinking about who He is and what He's doing. So what do we do with this situation? For those who believe, okay, the reason things are happening the way they are, the reason God has allowed these terrible things, the things in the economy, the natural disasters, you know, the change in government, whatever your particular complaint is, the infringement on our liberty, the threats we're experiencing against religion, against Christianity. There's so many things that are real, that are happening. But God has arranged, He's rocking our boat. He's rocking the world's boat because the Christians have gone off in a corner to hold church. just as in Jerusalem, back in the when the church was first being called a church, everybody was collecting in Jerusalem. But God wanted his life to be spread throughout the world. So I wonder sometimes, was he already talking to them about going, y'all need to get out of here. Y'all need to go. I want some of you guys to go over here. I want some of you guys to go over here. I want you and you and you to go there. But it was easier to just stay in Jerusalem because they had a support group. They had fellowship. God wanted them out of there. They wanted to stay. So he had tried, I wonder if he had tried doing it nicely, gently, lovingly. But when that didn't work, he knew it was best for them and for the world to split them up. So he caused persecution to come upon them. It wasn't hard to do, but it was from him. So they had to flee. And they took him, his word of grace, eternal life, of not relying on the law, that the law was fulfilled, but that God could now be known personally. They took that with them. They didn't do it out of victory. They didn't do it willingly. They fled as victims. But they weren't. They weren't victims. They just felt that way. They were still believing that about themselves. So I wouldn't be at all surprised if they were feeling the same way as we are now, that they had somehow displeased God. And that was why he was allowing the persecution to come upon them from the government. And yet, looking back, we are so grateful that they didn't all just stay in Jerusalem. They didn't all just stay in their little pockets. That the word was pushed and forced into every nook and cranny, so that we also could hear and be affected and enlivened by what they had experienced. But so it is today. Our problem is that we, so many have come into this crisis, this big crisis. We all have crises, but this is a biggie. And we are coming into this not having learned how to hear his voice for ourselves. Not having learned how to test what we are hearing. Not knowing how to live as a son of God. How to rule and reign. How to exercise authority and responsibility. So many times, we're crying out to God, and we have the right goal. For instance, we want righteousness in our governments around the world. That's what government is supposed to do. Be a righteous government. Do what is right. And that's an honorable and true desire. But we're complaining to God. And we're saying, God, fix this. And he's saying, I have given you everything you need to fix it. And I have arranged all the circumstances for you to learn how to fix it. I want you to grow up as my sons and learn how to do what you are. We have an opportunity to learn so much more in the next few months and years. But we can't learn it if we don't accept the authority and the responsibility. Those two always go hand in hand. It comes down to, who are you in God? What is your identity? If you believe you are a victim of your circumstances, you will never take that authority and you will never take that responsibility. If you think that the enemy can hold a candle to you, you will believe the lies he's telling you. So we're coming into this crisis and we don't have the skills we need. This is where God's love really shines. He will do in you in 5 minutes what you think would take 5 years. But if you're thinking it's your job to repent, to stand in the gap, to make up for all the bad things that other people are doing, if you think it's your job to be the, you know, stand in the gap and to, you know, form the church and fast and pray and call on heaven and whatever it is you think you're supposed to do, your mind, your will, and your emotions will be distracted from coming into the alignment of hearing who God is, knowing him. But he's not going to let you stay there. You can make up for it just by turning to him. This is the area of repentance that we can do, that God wants for this time, that is appropriate to this age. Repentance is just turning, agreeing with God, turning from our own way of thinking and agreeing with God's truth. That's what repentance is. Okay? So he is truly calling us to repentance, which means giving up our own way of thinking and agreeing with his truth. If we are now living as spirit beings in him, if he has given us a new spirit, if we've been born again into his life, into his family, everything we need is available right now. He's not holding anything back. We just need to learn how to use it. And he can make us all so quickly equipped that it will amaze us. Because that's what he wants us for. He wants us to be not only survivors. He doesn't want us getting through this by the skin of our teeth. This is an opportunity for you to excel, for you to overcome things in your life, things in your circumstances, with a flash, just so much more quickly and so much easier than you ever imagined. But you do have to repent. You have to give up your way of thinking and accept his truth about who you are, about who he is, about what's going on. The only enemy in your life that has not been overcome is your flesh. In him, in Christ, just as we accept that we were born again in him through his experience on the cross, we also accept that when he overcame the world and when he overcame the devil, we also overcame those enemies. But he never formed flesh. So that is the only thing that we have to really do on our own. But he's giving us an opportunity to do that. And we want to take him up on that. So ask him right now, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? Is there something that I'm not doing that I'm missing out on? Teach me, Lord. I want to know from you personally what you want me to be doing. Teach me, train me. I'm here. I'm showing up. I'm here in class. Give me my homework. I'll do it. And I'm going to cooperate and work with you and stay focused on you and not listen to any other voices, because I know you have arranged these circumstances in my life for my benefit, to know you better. So we are touching a lot of the things that are related to this in our other programs, but if you've got any questions about specifically how to do this, we do have a lot of the information in the books. You can always get the books, but otherwise just drop me a line and I will point you in the right direction to help you if you need those steps, because there are specific steps we can do to help us know him objectively and put into effect, take advantage of the opportunity we have. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again on Monday at 7:30. Have a great weekend. This has been Diane Thomas of Prepare Radio. Have a great day.